Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Morning Show. This on our Tuesday closest to the solstice and Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, Julie.
Thank you, Phil. And Merry Christmas and happy solstice to you, too.
Yeah. Once again, we have Phil and Julie in hosting the Tuesday edition of the Morning Show. And with us today, we have a couple of guests from Sandpoint's Park and Recreation Department. We're going to get to them and have a fun-filled hour for those who want to learn more about our area's parks and recreational opportunities. But first, we're going to touch base on the weather. If you haven't gotten up and looked outside, we can sum it up in one word. Well, two. Rain, and depending where you are, maybe a little snow. I had a little snow mix coming in.
I think so. Rain and snow, wet. Not super cold. That's good.
No, it was above freezing, so it's really kind of that slushy, sleety, yucky. But we are under a winter storm warning between now and 4 a.m. Wednesday. We have 100% chance of rain today, and tonight 100% chance of rain also.
Yes, but I think it's snowing at Schweitzer, so that's a good thing. And it's not that cold down here.
No, if you go up a few hundred feet, it's snowing. So it may be snowing at your house. Local conditions may vary. We're going to hit a high of 41 degrees today in Sandpoint, a low tonight of 34. It's going to continue a lot like that this week, going through... Julie, keep talking.
I will. Our phone is ringing. Hey, we are going to have wet weather, and of course, we're going to continue to have wet and snowy weather, which is good, but we'll work on that, and we'll work through it, and soon it'll be Christmas. But Phil, I have another something I need to talk about before we start our
interview. Julie.
All right, I've got to send a shout-out to my oldest, bestest friend in Minnesota, Ann Nelson, because she lost her mom this week, and this my friend is Ann, and her mom was named Joanne, and Joanne was quite a lady, and I think if not for Joanne riding herd on all of us teenagers in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, none of us would have maybe survived adolescence. So we're feeling for Anne, and we're missing her mom, Joanne, and I just wish you the best through the Christmas season with the loss of your mother. And with that, we can continue on.
A very loving tribute. It's more important this time of year to remember our friends and our family. So why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests this morning, Julie?
I'm happy to do it. So this morning, we are joined by Sandpoint Parks and Recs, and we were lucky enough to have Kim Woodruff, who's director. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And he's joined by Jason Wiley, who's the recreation supervisor. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. So, Phil, you and I have not had Parks and Recs on our Tuesday morning show before.
I don't think we have, although you've both been on our station's radio programming.
It's true.
So we're welcoming back some returning guests, but our first interactions with them. And I think our listeners, the Tuesday morning listeners, are a unique genre. Some of them listen just on Tuesdays, so they're really anxious to hear you as well.
I think so. So both Kim and Jason, it doesn't matter which one of you starts first, but I'd like you to tell us a bit about yourselves and how you came to be here in Sandpoint.
Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, I'm up first. All right. So, I'm the recreation supervisor for the city of Sandpoint. It's a great place to work. Lots of fun. My family moved up here in 78, so I've been up here off and on since then, as most of us do growing up here, and you leave and you come back several times, and finally put roots down here.
So many people come here because of the recreation, but you stay because of the recreation.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit more about your job and what all you do.
So my main responsibilities is running the recreation programs. So all the fun stuff that we have going on, the basketball, the sports, enrichment programs.
Yeah. And what's your background that allowed you to get this job? Did you do this elsewhere, or did you come here and work your way into it?
I got a master's degree in sport and rec administration. And
that
kind of launched me off into the career of recreation. Mm-hmm. I spent 2 years down in southern Idaho in Soda Springs before I moved up here.
So plenty of experience and a great college degree for this work. Mm-hmm. That's great. Kim, tell us about you.
I moved here in 1986. I too went to University of Idaho, Jason as well as a Go Vandal. Shout out to the Vandals. And came up here as an intern originally, and was interning for a couple weeks, and the then director, Cheryl Klein, of the recreation department, was looking at another job in the school district, and so I applied for and got the job, and I ended up interning for myself, and I gave myself very high marks. And so I've been here for 32 years, something like that, and it's really an outstanding place to live and raise a family. Before that, I worked for the city of Moscow, running in their rec stuff, and I ran the outdoor program for the city of Boise for a summer. And so I've got, you know, around the state of Idaho a little bit, and I really am, and I think I'm wired to be in parks and recreation. When I was in the university, I started off in engineering and, you know, did that, you know, making C's and stuff. Well, maybe C's. But then took a, you know, time off. I came from a farming background. I had no idea that parks and recreation was an option. You know, we lived out in the sticks kind of, so didn't really take many rec programs, played some sports and stuff. And I got in there and really did look around the university and look at the different majors out there. And found parks and recreation, and my values that I have, and really what it boils down to is we have free time, and in our free time is where we express who we are and where we find our happiness and our challenge and our joy. And so, you know, simply put, you know, you're spending some time to either go to school and get grades or else work and make a living and put a roof over your head and food in your mouth, but the time that you have remaining is called leisure time, free time. And the free time is when we can choose and challenge. And just that simple concept of, you know, of being able to offer things for people to choose, you know, and challenge themselves. And so it's just a pretty simple concept. The big part of it is for people to understand and recognize the free time, because it's so easy mm-hmm. to plop down in front of a TV. And I, you know, I'm guilty of this. And it's like 4 hours later, I go, oh, well, what'd I watch? You know, yeah. it was like, you know, 3 hours ago. You forgot what you watched an hour ago. And you know what? If you want to decide you want to sit down and watch 4 hours of TV, sweet, go for it. You know, but at least make the conscious choice to do it. You know, and I think that that's the big part. It's just to kind of, you know, be your own driver in your own life about which time is. Time is fleeting. You can't get time back.
And sometimes that recreational time is what makes a difference in your life. It can really make a big difference. So truly appreciate it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we've had a number of guests on talking about mental health issues, and there's direct correlation too there between how we spend that leisure or free time often and, you know, our mental status. So I'd like to delve a little more into, it seems like the words are almost inseparable, parks and recreation, as if it was all one, but there really are separate components to that. And let's explore a little bit about how those separate components work in the city and how and why they're brought together.
Okay. Well, I'll jump into that, Jason, it hasn't always been, you know, departments of, or a combined department. About in 2004, our then Parks Director, Maurice Dunn, who did an outstanding job developing park system in Sandpoint, and he was here for 25 years and really didn't, I mean, he's the one that developed a lot of our sports complex. It really brought City Beach around and was kind of like the grandfather of our park system. He retired, and at the time I was the recreation director, so we had two, you know, director positions, and that was an opportunity for the city to explore the combination of the two. And really the beauty of that is the recreation is the user side and the parks are the facility side, and they so much overlap. And so to be able to have someone kind of in that position to kind of coordinate those two aspects, and the way that we're set up in Sandpoint, where I'm Parks and Recreation Director. And then we have an administrative assistant, Cammie. And then Jason, our recreation supervisor. We have a part-time rec assistant. Her name is Deanna. We have our parks supervisor, who is Austin Hull, and on our parks division. Then we have our parks staff, full-time staff, of Tony, Ken, Gus, Sean, and Todd. And then we have park seasonal staff, around 8. Hmm. And then Jason, in the rec division, has probably a seasonal of 60-plus. And what we do there is he runs the lifeguard program, the concessions, all of our sports leagues, and we'll let him get into that kind of stuff. But also in our rec division, kind of acts as a middleman. There are people out there that have skills that they would like to share with the community, and then there are people out there that want to learn things. And Sandpoint Parks and Rec, we use the model of we're just the connectors. We can provide the facilities and the hiring structure and the registration and the things, you know, to make those connections happen. And so he can kind of talk about that in a little bit. So
yes, heck, that's a lot of people.
Yeah,
it is.
What's
the
total? It sounds like it's 200 people almost by the time you're done. Maybe not quite that
well,
many.
Well, it'll be probably 100 plus. And this, you know, and there again, it's just kind of the connection part. Jason, you know, I really appreciate him. He hires a lot of first-time people. You know, and I grew up in a farming community in southern Idaho. And so, you know, I was picking rocks and, you know, milking cows, stuff like that. You know, you do as a little kid. In Sandpoint, you know, we don't really have that type of an economy, and so sometimes first jobs for our teenagers and stuff, or you know, it's an interesting, you know, not challenge, but we call it an opportunity. And so Jason brings him in and hires him and talks him through the process and the paperwork and the forms, and then reminds him about the forms and the paperwork.
And
teaching them. So that's kind of a side benefit that I really appreciate that he does, is to take the time to instill that work ethic and those job skills to our local teens. And literally, you know, I've been doing this for 32 years. And, you know, and I used to do the rec part, and so now I see people that have kids that were higher and that had kids. I've been here for a while.
And, Jason, I bet a lot of parents appreciate the work that you do to get those kids organized in their first jobs. Yeah?
I'm sure they do.
Yeah. So I think that it looks like we're going to generally focus first on the parks and shift to the recreation. And so, you know, with that in mind, tell us about some of the range of the parks that are available that you work with for the city of Sandpoint.
Okay. I'd be happy to do that. We have a lot of parks. I'm going to kind of look at my fun fact sheet here. 110 acres of developed parks, over 15 different facilities and locations. And if we have time, I'd like to go over each of them, because I think people just would be aware of where our parks are, and it would be a great opportunity for me to share.
Yes.
8 tennis courts, 4 basketball courts, 3 softball fields, 3 baseball fields, 1 football field, stadium, memorial, 5 playgrounds, a bandstand, 4 picnic shelters, 4 horseshoe pits, 2.5 miles of walking paths and bikes, and that's just in the parks proper. Skate park, outdoor shooting range, a community hall, 2 marinas, a boardwalk, and community garden, and really a wide offering of opportunities.
I think it'd be great to run through them, but what I noticed at first blush is that almost every one of those immediately suggests a form of recreation that may be most appropriate to that specific location.
Yeah.
So they really are tied in, this park and recreation concept. And
we have sports complexes, which kind of serve the sports, which are the Travers and Centennial and Great Northern out on Pine Street. And then we have neighborhood parks, Hickory Park. There's probably a park that maybe not a lot of people know about. It's kind of over by the alternative high school behind there. It's a beautiful park. Mm-hmm. Then of course, City Beach, which is our gem that everybody knows about.
Sort of the premier park, as we think
then
about
we have
it.
Third,
it's so
just real quick, we have Centennial Park, City Beach Park, Community Hall, Downtown Square, Farm and Park, where the farmer's market is. We have the Gateway to Sand Creek and that path system in there. The Great Northern Park, which technically is the park where we have the Monterey Bay Trail.
Oh, yes.
So that used to be the Humbert site. And so technically the city owns the property right there at the trailhead and a little bit in. And so that park. Hickory Park we talked about. Lakeview Park, which is where the museum is. And Pine Street Park across from City Hall, where the indoor shooting range is for the Sportsman's Association. And then we kind of talk a little bit about the sports complexes, the marinas, City Beach Marina and the Windbag Marina. So we in outdoor shooting range, which is unique, and Jason manages that. We'll let him talk about that a little bit more. So yeah, we've got a lot of offerings.
Well,
so,
what strikes me is that there's just such a variety of parks that you all need to manage. I mean, from shooting range to marina to hiking trail. I mean, Mikinik is a much different hiking trail than the Bay Trail. It's really a
and on that trail, there's a lot of partnerships. So we partner on the Bay Trail with the cities of Ponderay and then on the Mikinik Trail with the Forest Service. So there's a lot of our agencies that work together to serve the public.
There's so many parks in there that have an obvious appeal to outsiders, to visitors, tourists, that really mark us as a destination. I think we're known throughout the region for City Beach and, of course, Mikinik Trail. And they really are an attraction to that helps the city economically in so many ways.
They truly are. And we're blessed to have a city council and administration since I've been here in the 30-plus years that I've been here to support public parks and recreation. Mm-hmm. It's a value system that we hold here. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of a different vibe when people move here. I think it's that is kind of the common thread. It's quality of life. You know, you can live someplace in a larger place and save all your money in the rat race and then run away to someplace like here, or do with a little less and live here and just do it every day. So that's what I do.
Do you have any sense of visitor usage? Is there a way to estimate or gauge that, even if it's anecdotal?
We try to, like the beaches and then our different sports and stuff, but it's and that there are measurables that we have been working as a city under our city administrator, Jennifer Stapleton, you know, and trying to quantify more. And so, and she's kind of trying to bring me into the new age of that type of data collection and whatnot. I'm kind of an old school guy. I just barely got a smartphone, right? It's like, I do smoke signals. That's how I communicate.
You could probably tell by credit card usage at the hot dog stand where people
are coming from. Yeah, yeah. And that also, I kind of just wanted an opportunity in our Parks Division takes care of a lot of the right-of-ways. So all the swales downtown and the collectors, mm-hmm. the Fifth Avenue corridor, all the Christmas lights that are around downtown, those are Parks Division. All the traffic islands that are around town that need mowed and all those things in there that are taken care of, that's a function of the city that falls to the Parks Department. Mm. And so it's not just – and then we also do government buildings and grounds. And so we do City Hall and you know, other government buildings out there. So we do have a wide array of responsibilities, not just parks and rec.
Yeah, so the job is much bigger than what we might think of just simply the parks and maintaining the parks.
Right,
and
right.
It brings me to the question that Phil is always waiting for from me. How is it all paid for? How do you guys do it?
Well, that's there's taxes, of course. We have users and program fees, and then we have grants and foundations. And in our Parks Division, we have a thing called the Parks Improvement Fund, and those are park fees that are collected that are dedicated for capital improvements. And I need to give my predecessor, Maurice Dunn, the vision for creating that opportunity to collect and protect those fees, because then we can take those monies for capital improvements and use them to match different grants or foundations or opportunities out there. So every dollar that's collected from a user fee or whatever then goes into this account and is dedicated for that. We also have a thing called the non-resident development fee, and that's a per participant outside the city of Sandpoint. And so, simply put, people who are 8,000 residents that live inside the city pay for our parks and recreation opportunities on the tax part of it. You know, everybody else has user fees and stuff. In our fees, we often have a city discount, and that's because the people are already paying their taxes. But in this particular fee for, like, youth sports, they pay $3 per person that live outside the city, and that goes into a program just to pay dedicated for playgrounds. So you'll notice in the last 10 years or so, we've been pretty aggressive on replacing our playgrounds, which are very popular, and so that's where that funding source comes from. And then we have our youth scholarship fund that Jason works hard on with donations, and we can kind of let him talk a little bit. But those are real dollars that come into the community through his efforts, and we're able to pay for kids' recreation and opportunities through city programs.
So everybody likes to know some sense of ranking. Most popular destination park?
Probably the
City Beach.
It's got to be City Beach.
City Beach. Yeah. Mechanic's pretty close, though. But it's
not even
Beach.
Close, dude. No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is for you, Phil, because you're higher.
Right? Unless it's hard to favorite. True.
In Phil's mind, it is.
What's the local park? What's the park the locals really like that most people don't know about if they've just moved here?
That's Third Avenue Pier. You know, is one thing that's in the community. Yeah. Hickory Park is a unique park. That I would, you know, and what I'd really get, like, just go online, Google Sandpoint Parks and Rec, and we have a whole presentation of all the parks. And so I challenge our listeners just to educate yourself about where your park opportunities are. Because even if you have a half hour or an hour or something to kill and you go over there and just kind of go hang out, each park has a different vibe and opportunity, right, that you can.
It's so true. You mentioned Third Avenue Pier, and I'm there on a hot day of summer, and kids are jumping off, and it's tiny little park, but it's a great park.
It's the quintessential small town park.
It is. Yeah. And then, you know, you mentioned the Lakeview Park, and that's where our movies in the park happen, right?
Right. Yeah.
And
that's a partnership that Jason does with the museum and some other sponsors. And so, you know, really, small town is Sandpoint's a small place, right? And so there's a lot of people that are striving for quality of life enhancement. And so we partner with those people.
Yeah, there's some great.
Because, you know, they're all the same people, man. I mean, you go to different meetings and, does this one too?
So great neighborhood parks. And if you're from out of the city, you go to Lakeview Park, you're there for the festival. But unless you have kids in school, you don't go to Travers Park. Well, maybe if you do the turkey trot, but
yeah.
So there's a great neighborhood park that's really very large and unique to Sandpoint and what it offers. And
yeah, well, and Traverse is part of the sports complex, and so there's like 30 plus acres of sports stuff. A real unique park and one of our newer parks is the out of the fairgrounds. Fairgrounds Park.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a partnership where we went in and worked with the fairgrounds. We were deficient in a playground in that side of town, on the north side of town. So partnering with them, we went in and created the funding to build the park. And then we turned it over to the county to maintain. So it truly is a win-win. And then the neighbors out there have a park, and it's a beautiful park, and it's and well-used. So,
And, another example of sort of the ephemeral nature of parks, Lakeview, it's everyone's there for the movies, and then nobody's there. It's just lawn. And Farman Park is another one like that. What? 5 days of the week, it's just a kind of a sidewalk and a sculpture. But then 2 days a week, the farmer's market just fills it with music and people, and it's there, and then it's gone. It's
yeah, and then wonderful. We have events there, at times when they've had, so kind of a special use park.
Yeah.
My goal in life is to actually grow grass on that park.
Good luck.
I pretty much resigned it. Let's just do artificial.
There's a real uphill battle.
But here's the cool part. If it's wore out, that means people are using it, right?
That's right.
And so that's kind of another way of looking at it from and that's kind of the going back between parks and recreation, and from a recreational aspect, if you're wearing something out, then you're using it. From a parks perspective, it's like, I really like to grow that grass, man.
and you bring up another good topic, which is just the interface with the physical parks and the community. So there's the farmer's market and a lot of special events taking place at the Farman Park, and of course Lakeview Park, you're right next to the complex that houses the football stadium as well as the festival. And also on the property, you have the museum right adjacent by the Lions Club Den, the Native Plant Society's Arboretum, and all these things working together, but really falling under this park umbrella.
Right. And then also, people sometimes don't remember, but the Memorial Field is a park. We do not lock those gates. I mean, it's open.
Yeah.
And so you can go in there and play and run up and down on the grandstands, and there are people that do that.
Yeah. So let's turn for a moment to something I hope is not too controversial, dogs.
Ooh.
Some parks yes and some parks no, and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I don't think it's controversial. I think it's just, we have areas that are dedicated for dogs, on leash, and then one place off leash. On our on leash parks are at Hickory, and your dog needs to be on a leash. Lakeview Park that we were talking about. There are some areas where you need to stay away from, in particular the basketball court, tennis courts, and the kids play area. Off leash we have at the Humbert Park, which is the Bay Trail. And so, we do encourage leashes, dogs on leash. It is legal, however, to not have them on a leash. So those are kind of the dog-friendly areas that we have in Sandpoint.
And being a dog owner, what I appreciate about your website is that it is clearly explained, so a person will know before they
Well, and And it's not just the website, it's all our signage. There was a committee about 5 or 6 years ago that we came up with to be consistent in how we communicate with our dog owners. And that is, I think, the key. I think we've had like 8 different types of signs when we did the inventory and said, let's be consistent. Let's, communicate clearly. I think, people are awesome. If they know what's expected, 95% of the time, 99% of the time, people comply. And it's just a lot of times when you see people in a park, some of them just say, I'm just going to do it. But, usually people.
Most people they know will do it.
Yeah.
Now, Dog Beach is not part of the city park.
Nor is it even in the city. No. So it's, that's where, actually it used to be in the city. I mean, I've been here for a long time, right? And so, and then the city de-annexed it.
Oh, what city is it in now?
So, it's in Bonner City? County.
It's in Bonner County, incorporated part of it. But for the sake of listeners who aren't familiar with what we call Dog Beach, you can access it from the junction of 95 coming in and the bypass south entrance exit. There's a small parking facility and a pathway,
and it serves a great function. And also a big shout out to Bonner County for kind of stepping up and taking ownership and cleaning it up and doing some improvements down there just this last year. And so it's I think that Bonner County and what they're offering there has noticed the value to our locals and have kind of stepped up and taken care of.
Very very few communities would have a public access dog beach on a lake this quality. In fact, very few communities would have the wide array of park and recreational opportunities.
You're not going to find a town of 8,000 people that have both the park offerings or the programming offerings that Sandpoint does. We truly are. And I give it, credit goes back to our city leaders. Because it all takes money. And it does.
And a futuristic view.
Vision. And vision. Yeah. That's probably a good opportunity to segue. We're going to take a short music break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the recreational side of things. If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY Pondere, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And this morning, Julie and I are talking with our guests from Sandpoints Park and Recreation Department, Ken Woodruff, the director, and Jason Wiley, the recreation supervisor. And because it's the Christmas season, we're all feeling the Christmas cheer, but we're talking about outdoor recreation, leisure lifestyles, active leisure lifestyles. Bruce Coburn, Tell It on the Mountain. Welcome back to the Tuesday morning show here at KRFY 88.5. We have today with us Jason Wiley, Recreation Director for the City of Sandpoint, and we're going to get to him in just a moment. Kim Woodruff, the Director of Parks and Rec, and we have one last question for Kim. We went through all these parks. We talked about various attributes. Pick a favorite.
Well, I'm going to have to say the Windbag Marina Park, because that's where my sailboat is.
Okay.
So that's...
We all have our
summer fun. Yeah, that's right. And that's where I go to get away.
We didn't really talk about that as a public park.
And it's a pretty neat place. We actually built that, two or three or four or five years ago. It all kind of runs together. With probably about $1 million in improvements through grants and user fees. And so it's a cool place, and there's a lot of, they really improved our waterfront, and my boat happens to be down there, and that's where I go to take my naps.
And a public marina, which we should all be happy for, because they're not all public. And I'm not sure, Jason, we're about to begin your interview anyway, but do the sailing classes come out of that area? Let's move into the recreation classes. And what about those sailing classes? Is that with you guys?
The sailing classes is another one of those partnership programs that we put together. So we do that with the Sandpoint Sailing Association. And they are based out of the Windbag Marina there. So.
Yeah, what a neat opportunity for young people to learn how to sail. And then also, of course, with the marina, to have a public opportunity to keep a boat if you aren't a waterfront owner.
It's a great way to open up the conversation with Jason, and let's talk about the range of things that the Recreation Department either puts on themselves or partner with.
You know, we're real lucky to have such an active recreation community here because it allows us to be able to have these offerings. We've got a lot of people with different experiences, expertise, and they want to share, and then people want to learn at the same time. And so that allows us to have this diverse thing from, our sailing lessons, our swim lessons, to the MIG welding, as we talking about before, and a lot of other things that sometimes people don't think as traditional Parks and Rec programs because it doesn't involve a ball or.
Yeah, well, Jason, give us an idea of just the range, because it is a huge range. You just mentioned MIG welding, and we've just been talking about sailing. Give us an idea of how wide the range of recreation opportunities are.
I mean, you could start off with our basic sport programs. You know, we've got youth programs, youth sports programs, adult sports programs, and those are running almost year-round, just kind of back to back to back. The youth sports programs take a little bit of a backseat in the summertime because the league thing doesn't go so well because we have such a short summer. People love to get out and do it. So it kind of changes our format a little bit. Our adult sports pretty much run year-round, so between volleyball and basketball and softball. You can pretty much not take more than a couple weeks off and play sports year-round doing that. So, and once you move out of the traditional sports programs, then you start getting more into some of our peripheral ones where you have, in the summertime we have sailing, wintertime we have cross-country ski lessons, move a lot of things indoors. We partner to offer the contra dances second Friday of each month at Community Hall. And so, there's another one, a little bit different than your traditional programs. We partner with MakerPoint to do a lot of different classes where you're actually hands-on, you're making stuff. You've got woodworking, silk screening, MIG welding. We've switched up a couple of them, like CNC plasma cutter and those kind of things. And it's a really great resource because they have these things there that we can have access to without us having to purchase a lot of equipment or rent a large space. So
Phil and I keep mentioning the virtual reality classes, and then there's a drone class. Do you have anything to do with those? Is that through Rex, or is that a Sandpoint Library course?
That must be a Sandpoint Library course.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I wouldn't be averse to getting my hands on some of that.
I know it.
Sounds a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Sandpoint Libraries open up their virtual reality center when they open the new facilities. Really pretty cool. We haven't been through the experience yet, but I know people have. And might be a new partnership in the offing.
Yeah,
that's right. And, well, I mean, and then there's the shooting range. And is that happening all year or is that only a seasonal?
Shooting range is a seasonal thing. It's located up on Baldy Road. And so it's a little bit up higher up in elevation. So we operate that mid-April through mid-November. And then we don't want to shovel, so we shut her down for the wintertime.
But not every rec department has a shooting range. So I think that's unique and kind of appropriate for this area.
And Brian Baxter, who's been on our show a few times, offers classes often through Sandpoint Park and Rec. And not every community has the ability to offer winter tracking, looking for mustelids.
That's right. That's through you all. That is wonderful.
I remember doing that one.
That's right.
You don't start with a program this big. Tell us about how it began and evolved.
Well, part of that comes down to Kim, because I took the reins over from him. So, you know, he did such a fabulous job of creating things over the years and laying out the templates and getting things rolling. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I just try to keep everything going. You know, reach out and get new opportunities. And, you know, I'm lucky when some people come to me and like, hey, I just moved to town and I do this. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. All right. You know, how can we make this happen?
So sometimes ideas come to you and other times you probably go and seek them out?
Yeah. Yeah. There'll be times I'll have people asking for a program or there's something I'm looking like, you know, that'd be really cool to offer that. I think people would dig that. And then I kind of got to start making some phone calls and find somebody who knows what they're doing because I always don't know all of it.
We have very active listeners, and some of them out there right now, I can hear the wheels turning. They're thinking either, I want to take XYZ class, and I don't know if it's offered, or they're thinking, maybe I could teach XYZ class. How should they find out more? Is there a website or a phone number they can call?
To find out what we have, you know, going to our website, so you can go to the city's website and go to the Parks and Rec page. It's probably one of the best. You can go in there and go to our online registration system, and it has the entire catalog is on there, so all the offerings we have. We also put out our booklet twice a year, so the third week of October and third week of May is usually when it's distributed, and that'll have all of our programs for that particular time in there.
Phil, you are hearing the wheels turning in my brain, so I actually have a couple of questions or ideas, and one is frisbee golf. I know there's a frisbee golf, sort of a private frisbee golf course near Baldy Road. Mm-hmm. Any ideas, any thoughts about frisbee golf for Sandpoint Rec?
You know, that's a really great, another really great partnership with the city and as far as property goes. They do a pretty good job of, they run a couple of things there and get people involved. We've worked with doing some intro stuff, but a lot of people just love to just go out and throw it, or they get into it with friends. So I wouldn't say it's not a well received program, just not one that gets a lot of enrollment because of the nature of the sport.
It's an independent activity.
It's a little more independent, and yeah, you know, when someone wants to get into it, it's like they grab a disc and they go out and they throw it. So
that's
it's
so true.
The guides are a wonderful thing. We were talking earlier about the things that the program brings to bear on these various partnerships, and one of them would be the promotional aspect. The information that goes out in the guides is extremely valuable. Tell us how they're distributed.
So our booklet is graciously, the Bee prints it up for us, and then they distribute it. So on that set third Saturday
it goes out of the paper.
October and May, it goes out as an insert in their paper, and then we get the remainder, which we distribute to local we do local schools, distribute to the library, get out to the chamber, available in our office, a few other locations around town we drop them off at. And then we, over the years, we've developed a process of promotions that goes out to different media outlets and goes out to people who sign up for our newsletter and through our social media pages. So when we kind of throw things into the hopper, so to speak, it rolls out and they get pretty good exposure throughout the community.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell us about a couple upcoming favorite classes. What are the things that we might not think of that are being offered that we shouldn't miss?
Well, we are partnering with Boy Scout Troop 111 on New Year's Day for a polar plunge down at City Beach.
Oh, boy.
I think I'll miss
that.
So
there's your diverse bit.
Yeah.
So there's that one coming up. Yeah. So I look into that if you guys like to swim this time of year. It's a good one.
Well, that is an unusual one.
I know of a couple of listeners who are going, that might be my cup of tea.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right now we're getting in our youth basketball program. Registration is open. Registration ends on the 6th of January. So that'll be getting cranking up for kids. We've got our contra dances on the second Friday of each month at Community Hall. So those are always a lot of fun. And then we've got cross-country ski lessons coming up on January 5th. Those kind of my immediate winter winter programs we've got.
Quite a bit, though, for early in the new year.
And I know those contra dances are popular. You drive by the hall on a Saturday, and there's a lot of people there usually.
And let's not forget that you partner with the Native Plant Society. Phil and I know about that because we attend. It's a great opportunity for that group.
There's one other class I did want to kind of mention. It's a little bit different. Deanna, my rec assistant, puts it on. She's fantastic teacher on this kind of stuff. But she put together a program called the Visual Verbal Exchange, and I did see that somewhere in our notes. And it's a really cool program where a visual artist will bring in a piece of art, and then a verbal or writer will bring in one of their pieces, and then they will exchange. And then they will create something in their piece. So if you're a writer, you'll come and you'll get a visual piece, take it back, and then you will write about that. And then everybody brings the works back and displays.
That sounds like a whole lot of fun.
So it's kind of an interesting thing. That'd be something if you're an artist and you're interested in that, check it out.
And not what you typically think of as a recreation department offering. That really sounds fun and creative, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell us about some of the more popular summer programs. Of course, we're in the season of winter, so we're focusing on a lot of those. But there is a variety to the summer programs as well beyond the sports offerings.
There is. So our swim lessons are always very popular. We have a very large youth tennis program. So pretty much the week after school gets out until the first week of August, we've got tennis lessons pretty much every week going on for youth. Our adult softball kicks off in early May, and that runs all the way until the end of August as well.
Mm-hmm. And earlier, I think Kim mentioned the youth scholarships that the program offers. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, well, the youth scholarship fund it's a fantastic program we have. So we've got funds that are all, there's no tax funds in this. It's all from grants, foundations, and fundraising efforts that we have done. And the money goes into this youth scholarship fund that can reimburse the programs. That helps help us keep the cost low for the programs, yet at the same time, it allows people to be able to, kids that may not have the opportunity because of funds are able to participate in the programs. It's a really fantastic program. Mm-hmm. I got to really give a shout out to Schweitzer for Own the Night program. I do fundraising through that. We sell $10 ski tickets for the night skiing, and that does a large amount of the funding for this program.
And what a great way for people to get out and ski a little bit for $10 and find out if they enjoy skiing. I think that's a really nice program. Mm-hmm.
It is a great opportunity.
And support a great community program.
Yeah. I want to chime in a little bit on that program. If there are people out there that could use some help financially, we do offer up to $50 per child per booklet. So we do two booklets a year, and that's basically just come in and ask. You know, we do ask that you pay as much as you possibly can, even if it's a dollar or a couple bucks, because we want to have some ownership. Mm-hmm. But that's what that money is there for, and we encourage people to use it. So, I mean, there should never be a reason, financial reason, why a child does not participate in one of our programs.
And recreation's got to start early, doesn't it? If you don't understand that it's part of life, you want to have a recreation part. You've got work, we've got our work, we've got our internal system of managing, and then recreation kind of makes up that third part that keeps us happy people. And you guys are helping with that.
It's the fun part of our job.
That's right. It must be fun.
Phil, you asked what Kim's favorite park was.
Yeah.
And my favorite park?
We didn't ask Jason.
You didn't ask me.
We were going to get there.
My favorite park is actually Traverse.
Okay.
And because of me being recreation.
Yeah, it's a recreation park.
You go down there when that park is full, and you've got kids playing baseball and kids playing soccer, and you've got 30 kids on the playground, and there's people on the tennis court and kids on the skate park and adults playing softball. You can go down there and see hundreds of people out there recreating and having a blast. That's what it's about.
And that leads me into a question that I've been waiting to ask. And you've both been at this a long time, and you've helped a lot of people. You've enjoyed working for Parks and Recs. Is there anything for each of you that stands out as really a high point, something that you really have liked best about your work here in Sandpoint? Kim?
Yeah, for me, I could be having a rough day and just go out and look at kids playing on a playground. You know, that's probably my favorite part. People sometimes look at you and go, who's this weird dude?
Call the cops.
Yeah.
But, you know, really it's the pure joy of a young person on a playground. I mean, it's just, it's unencumbered. It's just natural, and it comes from their belly, and they just play. Yeah. And play is a cool thing. And so, and then also I liked the smiles, the smile factor, you know. And even if we could go around today, I challenge everybody to go smile at a couple people and see if they smile back. Smiles make the world go around.
They do.
You know, just trying to be happy. The bottom line is we're here. We're provided by your city council and mayor to provide a quality of life for you, our citizens, and our neighbors. Yeah. And so that's why there's a lot of money invested in that. And so please use our services, our programming, our parks, to be happy.
Yeah, take the opportunity. Yeah. Your joy, it just spreads joy. So we asked favorite parks, favorite recreation program.
Well, mine is sailing. I learned sailing some years ago.
It follows the
theme. There's a theme. But
makes sense.
I have a little bit different
of that because it's not the program I participate in. Yeah. But a few years ago, I started up a basketball program for first and second graders called Little Dribblers.
Okay.
And working with that age group they're very spirited and it's a lot of fun. But if you can get 25 or 30 of those kids in and they're bouncing a basketball around for an hour, and the joy on their face when they finally get it.
And the chaos.
And when they think they're playing and they're just having the blast, best time of their life out there. And that, for me, when I'm running that program, is hilarious. It's great.
We're not going to forget you twice, Jason. We ask him about a favorite experience or something that he really enjoys. Is there another thought you're having beyond just the Little Dribblers? What really makes the job special for you?
Me, it's going out and seeing people enjoy the program. When I go and check on a program where it's the first day or the last day and I'm bringing equipment and setting up or handing out awards, and it's just watching the people play and have fun, and they smile. And no matter how their day went, you know, if it's the 6 o'clock games for, you know, co-ed volleyball, and whether they had a horrible day at work, they come walking in and their friends are there and they're laughing and they're smiling and they go out and they play. And that is, I mean, that's why we do it.
So tell us, we've got just a few minutes left. Tell us about the future. Where do Park and Recs go from here?
Well, I think that just doing what we're doing. I think, again, that we are kind of a community co-op. So like Phil's challenging our listeners, if you have something you would like to take or share, you know, contact our office. And then what we can do is set up the facilities, the registration, the insurance, all that kind of, you know, business stuff to make it happen. Also, we're connected, e-connected, and Jason's kind of our guru there to, what do we got, 1,500 direct email accounts where we can contact people to do what we're doing, which is pretty impressive in a small town. And while I have this opportunity, before I shut up, I really want to thank my team. You know, our Parks and Rec team, truly, I mean, when you look at what's my favorite thing to do, it's working with and being a part of the Parks and Rec team. We have very dedicated employees that truly are into the cause. And so, you know, and that truly is a blessing. So, you know, our support from our city council on down, and then the staff that make it happen, the different departments in the city, the streets, the water, the sewer, everybody kind of comes in, the police department, fire department, and supports our effort. And so, you know, we're really blessed in this town to have very, very caring people and public servants.
Well, a great way to end an interview.
Jason, tell us a little bit about where you see things going and any last parting words.
My goal is just to keep offering the programs we're offering, keep offering these quality programs to the community, and keep people recreating, keep them active and having a fun time.
That's a great vision.
That's it. And, you know, recreation is sort of fluid. It changes. It can be one thing can be popular, another thing will come along. But there are a lot of staples that you guys are great at offering, and then the new ideas. And just as we conclude, why don't you give us your contact info one more time, and then we'll take a song break.
Yeah. So you can reach us online at the city's website, which is sandpointidaho.gov. And then you can link to the Parks and Rec from there. Our offices are located in City Hall at 1123 Lake Street. And you can reach us online pick up the phone and call us as well at 208-263-3613.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you both for coming in this morning. If listeners missed any part of the show or just simply like to listen to it all again, to Kim's melodious voice and Jason's wily wisdom, As always, we are podcasting these shows. They're available at KRFY.org and should be on the online later today, thanks to Julie's efforts. So tune in to the morning show on a regular basis and listen to our podcasts when you can. So we're going to take a short song break and come back with a little bit of the